Live now.
Who would be a Wolves fan, eh?
On goes Paul. People might yet win it here for Wolves. Blast in the shot. What a goal!
Hello everyone, it's Thursday night. Recently I've had Gully and Luke on, they're a bit pretty face, so I thought I'd get someone rough and rugged on tonight. I've got Kim with me. How you doing, Kim? Are you there, Kim?
Hi Dan, how are you? Yes I am, hello, can
yeah,
you hear me?
I'm good, it's Thursday, but I wish it was Friday. Big game this weekend, like every other Premier League game, Brentford at home. Let's quickly just revisit last weekend's win over Watford. Finally on the board, points and the goal scoring charts. What was your opinions on that 3 points?
I mean, first of all, we got the win. That was like the main thing. To be honest, I don't think the performance was quite as good as the, ironically, as the other three games, the Leicester, Man United and Tottenham game. But I'm just glad we got that scruffy win. Two goals that were just the dream, weren't they? Own goal and a tap-in from Hwang on his debut. You couldn't really ask for much better than that. And what was I was most pleased with is we dug in and we got the win rather than just playing pretty football and not getting anything to show for it. So, yeah, pretty pleased overall.
It was great that Hwang Hee-chan got his goal. I think his raucous reception that the fans gave him when he came onto the pitch, it was sort of written in the stars that he was going to go and get the second. I think it would have been a bit more awkward if we'd got the 3 points, but we'd only won by the own goal. So, I think we're flying now. I think put the stat up the other day that how many chances that we've created and someone's going to get a paste in, and I think, fingers crossed, it could be this weekend against Brentford. But I just mentioned Hwang there. Jimenez has sort of been misfiring recently. He's still not really sharp. He had one good chance in the second half against Watford, header off Matinho, free kick. How much sort of time has he got in the bank before you look at maybe starting him on the bench for a game?
Well, if we start with Hwang, I am really shocked how like built he is. Did you realise how like strong he was? Like, although he wasn't completely involved in the game, there was a few glimpses where he just sort of showed his strength, bustled sort of the Watford defenders off the ball. So I'm really I was quite surprised how well he just seemed to sort of get into the game. Now, whether he could almost play as a false nine and we potentially give Raul the rest and put him on the bench and come on. Now, personally, I don't want that to happen because, as you probably know, Raul's in my FPL team. So I have still got the faith. I'm keeping the faith with Raul. And I think over the next two games, he'll get at least a couple of goals against Brentford and Newcastle. No doubt about it. He's going to open his duck. All he needs is one just scruffy tapping, basically like a Hwang goal against Watford, and I'm sure he'll be fine. I don't think there's any issue with his sort of, being reluctant to get his head in or anything like that. I just think he's just missing that, that cool collective finish. He's like snatching at chances and almost, it's hard to pinpoint what the issue is because you can't fault his performances. He's just not got that final bit of composure that we used to see from him before. But I'm pretty positive that, he's gonna come good.
Yeah, I think it's purely down to confidence with the Mexican sensation now. I think, like you just said, he just needs that one goal, whether it's off his arse or off his shoulder or just a lucky deflection that falls for a tap-in. You know, we talked about before, sort of, strikers not necessarily being on form, but when fortune just is on their side. The two goals Cristiano Ronaldo scored against Newcastle, tap in for the first goal, and then the second goal, somehow manages to put it through the keeper's legs. When fortune's on your side, that's the only thing that Raul's missing at the moment. I think the header that he had against Watford another day, he's pinging in the back of the net. This guy, Francisco Trinco, with the Optostats from Ball Sports, had another good game on Saturday. Two shots on target, one key pass and four take-ons against Watford. Another player that just maybe needs a bit more just fortune on his side. But with Daniel Poland creating the second goal, and he looks quite sharp since he had that return against Nottingham Forest. How much do you think he's pushing for a start the weekend?
Well, just to touch on Trincao first, I suppose, because I thought after seeing him in the first game, I did think, is this guy going to be too sort of lightweight? You know, did get pushed off the ball quite a bit easily, maybe a bit of a, dare I say, show pony. But as he's each game, I think he's getting better and better. I think he was quite unlucky in the Man United game not to sort of open the scoring. And I just think he has got, though, that extra sort of clash. You can tell he's come from Barcelona. So, yeah, I'm really pleased. And I wouldn't even dream of starting Pedence over Trincao right now. I think Pedence usually is better as an impact player anyway, for me personally. And I think I'd definitely, you know, keep the same 11 and definitely keep Traore and Trincao, you know, really get at Brentford. Because as you said, I really think I'm predicting a really good win for us on Saturday.
Thanks for everyone that's listening so far and tuning in on our YouTube channel. If you've got any questions for us, just hit the comments section. Let's hear what you've got to say. Let's hear your thoughts on how Wolves are faring at the moment. Back on the transfer window, Max Kilman, with the format easing at the moment. There's a few in our WhatsApp group. Definitely not me that's eating humble pie at the moment.
King Kilman, isn't it?
Yeah.
We've said it from the start.
I'm not investing in the King Kilman club yet, but the lad is massively proving me wrong at the moment. I think we all made the comment last week about if we'd signed Max Kilman from Lille for £25 million, everyone would be saying, wow, we've got a really good defender on our hands. I think I've been ignorant in the past because we signed him from Maidstone and he played futsal, that maybe I haven't given him the credit that he deserves. And I think the way that he's playing at the moment with Mosquera and Willy Bolly now back fit, I think out of anyone in that back three, he would be the one that would be the most unjust to drop at the moment. Do you agree with that?
Pace will be dropped, won't he? If we decide to keep a back five, there's no doubt I think that Kilman should be starting. Whether he should, if we switch to a back four, I'm not sure. But do you think that we should generally? I think we should stick with a back five. And I know we've got some easier on paper, shall we say, games coming up. But I think Bruno's style is actually showing that we can play a back five and look really attacking still. Because how do we know that we might switch to a back four? Obviously, you get that extra attacking player, but we're going to be really open, like more open than when we were a back four with Nuno, obviously with Bruno's style of play. So for me, I'm pretty happy with a back five, I think, and how it's going. Like, why disrupt our sort of flow and the way we're sort of taking to Bruno's style?
No, I agree. I think when you've looked at Wolves in the last 18 months, even when we were playing with a back five under Nuno, it was so regimented and just counterproductive to us actually being on the attack from the off. Whereas now with the football that Bruno's got us playing, I don't want to sort of gas the situation, but we're playing as good attacking football as Chelsea are with their back five.
Agree? You just compared us to Chelsea.
I said I didn't want to gas the situation, but we are playing as good a football. We've created more chances than what Chelsea have in the opening four games, and Chelsea haven't had the tough run of fixtures that we've had.
Yeah, and I think, as a lot of people know, you and I were probably Nuno in Nuno cult, you know. We were part of that crew, but I have to say I am absolutely more excited to watch Wolves every game now compared to like last season. It was really, really pathetic towards the end. So although obviously still love Nuno, and I'm not going to mention him again tonight on this show, yeah, I'm really, really pleased with what we're seeing so far. And like you say, I know what you mean, we are looking like Chelsea in the sense that we look good defensively, but we also look really threatening every time we go forward. So yeah, can't, there's not a lot to moan about. Maybe that's a bad thing for this podcast, because everyone likes a good moan. But yeah.
It's ingrained in us as Wolves fans that we enjoy a good moan. Kerry Green in the comments section says, Wolves should stick at it as it's all good. Thanks for your comment, Kerry. I hope we don't bore you this week. I'm just going to go on a quick tangent here, because it's something that's been bothering me, and I did see it on one of the Facebook Wolves groups today. What's your opinion on Sweet Caroline before Wolves games?
It just reminds me of the heartbreak of England now. So I didn't really like it before, but personally, no. And don't ask me what we should play instead, because I can't think of that right now. But I don't know, it's a bit cringe, isn't it? You think the same, don't you? It's a bit cringe.
I'm massively, massively against it. I feel like I'm trying to crowbar, which is what's pretty much a boxing crowd / England football side song. You wouldn't sort of... You wouldn't steal like a You'll Never Walk Alone by Liverpool and crowbar it into your match day playlist. I think it's something that
it's associated with the cricket, isn't it? Well, when obviously, you know, I go to cricket a fair amount. It's a proper cricket song. And to be fair, it's kind of morphed into an England song now. So it just gives me memories. So what would you play instead?
It's like what you said, but it's difficult to pinpoint a song. But I think if you're going to use Sweet Caroline, it should be used, if you have to use it in a match day playlist, when you win a game, not before a game. Because not only are you sort of, I don't know, it's just not really a Wolves song. You're gearing up the away fans as well. I've seen like the last two home games, they're singing along with it as much as we are. And I just feel like you want to try and make the atmosphere pretty horrid for the away side. You don't want them singing along with it.
I didn't actually know we played it before the game. Maybe that's because I just haven't been in the ground.
You're usually in the pub until 3 p.m, aren't you?
Yeah, so I didn't actually. I thought it was after the game we usually played it. So we've obviously switched it around. Not sure about that one. I know Villa play it, don't they, as well? They play it after the game, and they play Oasis, Don't Look Back in Anger. They're all a bit obvious, aren't they?
That was one of the worst away day experiences that I've had in recent years, when we got battered 4-1 at Villa. And as we're literally like leaving our seat to exit the stadium, they're playing like Don't Look Back in Anger, and the whole Villa Park was singing that. It was a moment that I'll never forget, because like, you're ruining one of my favourite songs right now. We just got battered 4-1, you're ruining one of my favourite songs. Martin Wolfright says, bring back Led Zeppelin. Can't knock it, Martin's good choice to have before pre-match. I know they used to have like Audioslave, Cochise, and what's your opinion on Kanye West, All of the Lights before the game?
Oh, I love it. Is that
it goes well with the lights, doesn't it? I think on a
it
night
goes
game,
well
especially.
On a night game. Yeah, it goes well on a night game. What's the other one? Cafe Del Mar.
Yeah,
is it? I know it's a bit Ibiza, but I do like that one as well. Some of those like rock ones, like Led Zeppelin and all that, I don't think they go down well with our crowd, do they? Do you think? Like, they've never like, they're just in the background if those sorts of songs play.
It's hard to please everyone, isn't it? I think me and you've got sort of similar music tastes. I think you're off to Cortina's Saturday.
Blossoms is Saturday.
Blossoms Saturday.
Cortina's next Saturday. I won't be missing any games, just to note, you know,
So Led Zeppelin, it's like, yeah, it's Wolves Da.
Genre, what about Status Quo? That's
proper. It's a post-match win song, isn't it?
Yeah.
Need to do it. So let's quickly get back to the match on Saturday. Wolves versus Brentford. Ruben Neves is due a goal for Wolves. Last time we played Brentford at Molineux, we won 3-0, and Ruben Neves scored this peach of a goal. I mean, special goal, special night, 3-0. Brentford were actually a really good side that night. They had Ryan Woods in midfield, who I'm a massive fan of. I think he deserves to be playing Premier League football. I think he might be at Stoke at the moment. special season under.
Actually, isn't it Blues? He's at Blues, I think.
He's gone to Blues, sure, actually.
I think so, yeah. Bit of a come down.
Really good, really big come down for that. I think he's got a lot of talent, even though he's quite short. Is Ruben Neves going to break his spell of his goal drought on Saturday?
No, I don't think so. Purely because, have you noticed how amazing his performances have been over the last few games? But he's actually stopped shooting so much. He's just dictating the tempo, creating chances for others. And I feel like, to be honest, he hadn't had his shooting boots on for all of last season, did he really? Let's be honest. So I'd rather him be creating opportunities for others. So, yeah, obviously he's obviously high in confidence at the moment. So, you know, you wouldn't put it past him. But I just think the role that he's playing right now, is more of a creator. I'd actually back Martino to score over Neves, to be honest, at the moment.
Blimey, that's a bold statement. But that, I mean, yeah, I'll agree to disagree on that. I think when Jean Martino had that free kick on Saturday, which he ballooned over, he spent about what felt like 20 minutes preparing the vision in his mind where he was placing this free kick.
And then it actually made you believe it was going in, didn't you, with his like proper like concentration face off.
It's like a Johnny Wilkinson setup. The stance is there, the little run-up's there, and then it's just like, oh, for God's sake, Joe, just give someone else a go. Give flipping Sarr another, give Sarr a chance, just anyone, because you haven't got that attacking.
But usually Neves would take those. That's what I'm saying. Like, yeah. It seems like he's just sort of got a different role in the team now. But again, he's been the same, hasn't he? Like, he's been ballooning all the free kicks over the bar last season. So,
maybe it's confidence, and obviously Martino, he scored that goal against Arsenal last season, which was like a goal of the season contender, but that's just once in a blue moon, wasn't it? Let's get Billy Grant on from the besotted Brentford podcast. How you doing, Billy?
Not too bad. How you doing, everybody? Good to see you out there. Up there, I should say. I'm down there. Like, you know, you're good.
Yeah, thanks for coming on, Billy. Finally in the Premier League. I know, like Wolves, you had a few playoff blips in recent years, but is there any better way of getting promoted than the playoff final?
I'll tell you something. It was all planned. You know that. It was all planned. We didn't want to go up automatically. You know, we had to finish in third place again. And no, to be honest with you, listen, it's great. But first of all, thanks for inviting me on. It's great to be on your show. Like I said, it's great to be back with you guys and girls as well. Like, you know, because obviously we were hooked up together in Division One days, like, you know, and then the Championship days as well, we were hooked up together. Then you went off and left us and went into the far reaches of the Premier League and left us down there to do our thing. But, you know, it was, like I said to you, that playoff final, it was the previous year, obviously, we lost the playoff final, our ninth out of nine, and I've been to all nine of them as well. Even that one counted, even though I was in the pub, but I've been to all nine of them. So it was a bit of a gutter because it was the F word, which is Fulham, which we're not allowed to say in Brentford Climbs. We're not allowed to say that at all. So that was a little bit of a gutter losing to them.
Where are they nowadays, Billy?
I've heard they're in the Championship. Is that right? I'm not quite sure.
Don't know. Once you reach the Premier League, you only watch Match of the Day on Saturdays.
I tell you something, I haven't quite got into the habit of watching Match of the Day yet, so I've not seen one Match of the Day show yet. I haven't actually watched Match of the Day for about 25 years, and I'm obviously really out of the habit, so I need to set my alarm to remind me to actually watch Match of the Day. We're always on last anyway, so to be quite honest with you, I can miss most of it and then just kind of watch us at the very end, apparently. But we haven't got any problem with that. That's cool. We're biding our time. But like I said to you, that playoff final that we lost, we did it, but the following year, knowing that we weren't going to, if we went up, because with Brentford, and I've been seeing them for 40-odd years, and we would go to Accrington Stanley and Grimsby and all these wonderful places that we go to, when we finally go to Liverpool and Man United, I actually want to be there. So the fact that we didn't go up that season and we would have ended up watching it on TV, for me, that would have been heartbreaking. So I'm not sort of being bullish about it. I'm just saying that, in a way, it kind of worked out the best way for us that we didn't go up, because in Brentford, they probably got relegated straight away, and then we would be watching the back of the Championship. So to have gone up and then to get back in the stadium, and that Bournemouth game that we played in the semi-final, that was incredible. That was better than the final for me as well, because we were 2-0 down on aggregate after 6 minutes of the second game. 4,500 fans in the stadium. It sounded like 50,000, and we sung our hearts out, and we roared that team to victory, and we really did help them. And it really did make me think, after not being in the stadium for 18 months, pretty much, being there to actually get your team into a playoff final, it was one of the best feelings that I've had in a really, really long time. And you know this as well, because you've been in the stadium, obviously, a few times. And it's, listen, whatever the result, just being there, it's just been the business, isn't it?
Massively. Wolves would like, I mean, I'd like to think that Wolves are a massive club in the English pyramid. But sort of seeing Wolves at Wembley and the Millennium Stadium when we made it there in 2003, them are moments that you never forget, don't you, Kim?
Exactly. And seeing, I think it was your first game against Arsenal, Billy, and the atmosphere, like, even as just as a neutral, it got me. And I was like, wow, we are actually in for a treat just being back in the ground. And as you say, no matter what the scores are, it's just great to see live football again, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm going to be honest and listen. Everyone has got their different way of watching football, consuming, as the marketeers like to say, consuming their football. You know, I go week in and week out, you know, as maybe some of you do. Other people maybe not be able to afford going week in and week out, and they'll go some weeks and other weeks they can't do. And other people will sit down and they watch football on the TV the whole time. I have to admit, you know, it was a bit of a novelty the first few weeks, you know, of the lockdown, watching football on TV, and especially watching away games where, you know, you might find difficulty to go to, but all of a sudden, whoop, they're on TV. So that was lovely. But I have to admit, after about 3 months, the novelty, or for about 2 months, the novelty had definitely worn off. And I was just like, I can't wait to get back in the stadium. And I really couldn't really get my head around people that literally watch football on television week in and week out and actually don't go to games, because that is so foreign to me. And I'm not knocking you, because everyone's got their own way of doing things, but I couldn't do it. I'd probably stop watching football out to watch it on the television all the time, because it just hasn't got the same at all, you know.
Yeah, those 18 months in lockdown was difficult enough, wasn't it, Kim, without the football that was displayed on our tellies under Nuno, those 18 months.
And you know what was even worse? Not having a crowd watching the football was so bizarre. I don't know about you, but in the end, I started without crowd noise and then I ended up having to put the crowd noise on, but even that was a bit cringe. So, it's just, I can't imagine how people just watch football week in and week out on TV. I'm with you. Like, it's a completely different experience.
Yeah. I don't know if people don't watch football full stop, never mind on the telly.
That's right. Yeah. So it's interesting, because you guys, I mean, you didn't have, you know, last season was a little bit kind of probably a little bit shaky for you. But for us, the two seasons through the pandemic, we actually had a good season. So, I mean, I think we were luckier than most, because I think that if we had a terrible season, it would have been horrendous watching on TV. But at least we had a good season, and we went down the pub and everyone was down the pub. And the funny thing about it is that, I mean, I live about, you know, an hour and a half train ride from even though I live in London, from Brentford. So to get down the pub, I'd actually end up going all the way to Brentford and pretty much watch it by the grounds. So they're playing the game and I'm watching it practically with the gown there. And we're all inside the pub and we're all singing away, going, come on, Brentford, and singing away, because you're trying to put your efforts to try and make the team do better. And even though the team can't see you, you know, the team can't see you at all, like, you know, because they're playing, but you're thinking, I'm in the pub with, like, you know, 50, 60 other people singing away, because you're actually really thinking that you're actually going to get behind the team. It was quite a bizarre experience, actually. And
that's a bit like me, because I live in Birmingham, so not in Wolverhampton, so I didn't really feel the need to do that because we were so rubbish every week. But I had the same experience. Obviously, there's not too many Wolves fans in Birmingham, so if there was a big game, I'd have to travel, like, not far, but 20-25 minutes, say, just to be sort of in the vicinity of Wolves fans. So it's interesting, isn't it? It's just nice to, it's all about the community, isn't it?
Yeah,
whether
right.
you're, yeah, and it's obviously better when you're actually sharing the whole day with the people that you go with, as opposed to, you know, sitting at home or just turning up for the game in the pub sort of thing. So
that's right.
Agree with you there.
Yeah, just to speak on behalf of Kim there, she didn't breach any COVID restrictions during those pandemic times too. Travel from Birmingham to Wolverhampton to watch big matches on the telly.
All Wolves were adhered to.
Yes, of course, always.
Billy, four games into the season so far, how have you made your sort of, what's your feeling so far on your season's panned out? Obviously, big win against Arsenal, first game of the season. It's always a big statement to make, isn't it, for a promoted side to get that first win. Obviously, the atmosphere was huge to getting you over the line that night. I mean, you couldn't have asked for a better team than Arsenal, first game of the season, though, could you?
Well, you say that now. I mean, at the time, you know, we were a little bit nervous, to be quite honest, you going into that game because you got no idea what they're going to be like. They spent, you know, a fair amount of money, you know, or they have now spent quite a lot of money in the preseason. They've got some decent players, you know. I know everyone's sort of saying Arsenal all over the place, but I'm not being funny, but, you know, we'd pluck a few of their players and put them into our side if we could do. So they're not a bad team. They were just, I don't know what, I've got no idea what happened that day, but I'll tell you something. I think I do know what happened that day. We, first of all, we had a bit of practice because we'd come on a very good run. We'd also done the semi-final and the final with fans in the stadium. So we were already kind of like, we were already up for it. We were quite potty for it. We got promoted. We were in the next league. We were moving into our new stadium and we're going to be opening it with 17,000 people in it. And everyone was just massively, as we say, potty for it. They were absolutely foam. I mean, you know, we did quite a lot of TVs and radios before that Arsenal game. And everyone's saying, you know, how are you going to get on? What are you going to do? And I said to them, not be funny, but TW8, the postcode, the Brentford postcode, they said there's going to be absolutely no work in the TW8 region anytime that day. Literally, no one's going to be working. It's going to be productivity 0.001 that day because people, I mean, I left my house at 8 o'clock in the morning. I was in Brentford by 9, you know what I'm saying? And I was doing stuff. All my mates are coming down by 12:30. The pub was absolutely heaving. Like, you know, by 5 o'clock, you kind of like it was all over. So, you know, it was one of those days where like everyone in Brentford was absolutely gagging for it. We were potty for it. And you can tell about it. It's like, you know, you hadn't seen your friends for 18 months, a lot of them, because not everyone could get to the playoffs because playoffs was done by ballot and, you know, taps, you know, people with the highest points go to the playoffs. So a lot of people actually watched the playoffs in the pubs in Brentford. They actually didn't even go there. So this is the first time that you see a lot of your mates. You're there together having a drink, getting excited, doing the walk to the new ground, because obviously you had to work out the route to the new ground, because I mean, the Wolves fans that have been there before, you know, the four pubs in the corners and the other pubs, you know, maybe for our pub, which is one of the furthest ones away, it was 8 minutes walk to the ground, whereas the one that you lot drink in is 30 seconds walk to the ground. But this one, we've got a whole long 15 minutes walk to the ground from the pub, like, you know, which was like, you know, we had to set off like, you know, days in advance for that, because we're not used to it, like, you know. So we're walking to the ground, you've got the buzz when you got in there, and then when normally we get in the ground about either 2 minutes before or about 10 minutes after the starting whistle. But this time we were actually in the ground 40 minutes before the whistle, which I think gives you an indication as to the pottiness that was there. And we got in, they did the Hey Jude before. Thomas Frank was going around, as you probably saw on the TV, getting the crowd all hyped up. And the atmosphere was honestly on another level. And at that stage, I thought, you know, we might do all right here. We might do all right. And then we just came out the traps, and after the initial 10 minutes where we were a little bit, you know, a rabbit in the headlights, we just took it to them and we really did. And once that first goal went in, I'll be honest with you, I didn't think there's going to be any other result, because you could just tell the crowd were behind it, the team were behind it, and it was the perfect start in retrospect, and in the end it was. But, I mean, you didn't know that at the beginning, and, you know, I'm lucky. And listen, if we lose every other game between now and the end of the season, I still got that Arsenal game to sort of hang my hat on, you know what I'm saying? So it's not too bad.
Quite an iconic game for Brentford, the Arsenal win, obviously with the your gaffer with the young lad after the full time whistle.
Would
that he? That was like the moment of the season before the second game had even kicked off.
Yeah, it was, you know.
I remember after watching that game, I just felt completely emotional after. And I was like, oh, my God, and now I've actually got to go and watch my own team tomorrow. Like, God. And I think, yeah, we were playing Leicester away, and I was like, I just completely missed that experience. And I think that game just summed up how much people had sort of missed football. And as you say, that kind of sums up why all the Brentford fans, the occasion was, you know, pretty amazing. You know, your manager's a little bit eccentric, shall we say. And it just bought into the whole occasion. So, yeah, I really enjoyed it. And that's why I'm a little bit really like hoping that you guys stay up now.
Appreciate that. And I think for us, listen, we just do what we do. You know, there's no qualms about it. Like, you know, we know we're a small team. You know, we spent most of our time playing, you know, like I said, to your Scunthorpes and all these other teams. That's where we've come from. And I feel very blessed that we've got to the Premier League. We've worked hard for it and we're here. And we may not last very long, but that doesn't really matter because we've got to enjoy the moment. And, you know, if you can't enjoy an Arsenal victory, if you can't enjoy a victory here or there, why the hell are you supporting a team? You know, so I'm enjoying it as it comes, and we'll see. But I think the thing is, I think we were actually very lucky that we were on. I'm normally again anti you being on TV, but I was actually quite lucky that we were on TV that time, because what it did is that it announced us to the world, because we were the only match that was on and the only match that has been on with fans for 18 months. So it announced us to the world, but also a lot of people around the world who had, you know, I mean, I've been literally to all the five continents and I talk about Brentford to everybody, like, you know, and they probably look at you thinking, what is he talking? I've got no idea. Brentford, I've never even heard of them, like, you know. But all of a sudden, there's a lot of people saying to me, I remember you talking to me about Brentford like 10, 15 years ago and I had no idea. But now you're in the Premier League now and I saw you beat Arsenal. So it's kind of like registered with them, like, you know who we are. So maybe people could stop calling us of Bradford and Brentwood and all these other things that they call us, and actually might call us our real name for once, which might be quite nice.
As always, thanks for all the people viewing and listening. If you've got any questions for ourselves or Billy, hit the comments section. It only seems about 3 or 4 years ago since our two teams were pitting ourselves against Leighton Orient for League One promotion.
That's funny. I had to laugh, right? Because the last player that we bought in, we've had, you know, the transfers that we made, we made quite a few transfers. And the last person that we bought in is a guy called Wissa. And we bought him from a team in France called Lorient. And it did make me laugh because I was thinking, like, you know, I had to sort of correct myself because I'm so used to us buying players from Lorient, which is Leighton Orient, you know what I'm saying? But all of a sudden, we're buying a player from Lorient, which is on the other side of the water. So it does make me laugh. But yeah, that battle between us, you, Wolves, Brentford and Leighton Orient, I missed that. That was wicked. That was a wicked freeway that was as well, especially for some ridiculous reason. Leighton Orient just decided to just start some beef with us. And it's almost one of those ones where, like, you know, we hate you. Oh, Brentford, you're scum. And we're like, but we haven't done anything. What have we done? And they sort of formulated this beef thing. And then I think, if I remember rightly, was that the season that they went top of the league? And they were top of the league at the very start of the season. And if it's the same season, if I remember rightly, then they came down to us and they beat us as well. I think they beat us, like, I think it was 2-0 on a Tuesday night. And Martin Rowlands, who was a massive, massive Brentford, we loved him. He even had his own song, you know, a proper song, not like a stolen song. He had his own song. And then he went off to QPR and then he disrespected us. And then he went to Orient and I think he scored in this game, and he scored in the opposite end to the end, which is the terrace end. And then he made a point of running all the way from that end to the other end to start pointing at his badge and kissing and just doing all sorts of gesticulations at the terraced end, which was really quite bizarre. And then after that, they were doing the mind the gap and all sorts of stuff. And we were like, okay. And I think we were, you know, I'm not sure if we were in 11th or 8th at that time. And so we thought, okay, that's fair enough. And but we slowly kept on creeping up. And I think towards the end of the season, back end of the season, it was, I think you were first, we were second, and they were third, or they might be second and we were third. And we played them at their place, Orient at their place. And we had to beat them to try and nick that second spot. And for some ridiculous reason, they decided to give us the whole of the half of the stadium. So they gave us the whole, instead of giving us like a quarter, they said, you can have it all. So we had the whole of the end. So basically half of TWA came down to Leighton. We took the whole place over. We sang them to death and then we beat them 1-0. And after that was all over. That was it. You finished first, we finished second. And they ended up in the playoffs. But I just thought that was the most bizarre thing ever, you know, just giving us half their stadium because we, you know, we made the most of it. And we sung our team to victory that day. It was a great day. Loved it. But, yeah, Leighton Orient.
That's what I miss, you know, those League One away days. I love going to those little grounds.
Yeah. I, 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 I'm with you there as well. And this is my fear about being in the Premier League. And listen, I'm going to enjoy it as much as I can do, because I'm going to go. I've never been to Everton before. That's probably the only club that I've never been to. But, you know, I'm going to enjoy going to these places. But I've had proper laughs. I love going to Borough. Borough is my favourite away day. Preston, I love going to Preston. I love going to, well, Scunthorpe, I'm not so sure about. You know, Grimsby, you know, Wrexham. I've had a laugh at all those places that you met some characters and you have some good times. But you do have to move on as well. And I think that's where I'm at. And I think this is the thing with Brentford fans. We're in a new world at the moment, and it's a little bit scary because I'm comfortable being in the, it was Division One, and I was pretty comfortable being in the Championship. And now this is kind of like, whoa, I'm standing there with no clothes on. Everyone's looking at me kind of, you know, what do I do?
Yeah, as you said, you've come a long way, but you still don't really know how high your ceiling is at the moment with this side. Obviously, you've gone from Clayton Donaldson to Ivan Toney. How do you think he can fare this season?
Oh, it's difficult with Ivan because the hype's on him now, so everyone knows him, and he's up against some really good defenders. So he's finding it tough, but if you look at him, you look at his eyes, he's very resolute, and he doesn't care, and he really believes in himself, and he is actually a really good player. And if he's not scoring goals, everyone goes, oh, Ivan Toney, oh, he's not very good, he hasn't scored any goals. You look at what he does, the work rate, you see him on Saturday. If he's not heading balls on for other people or laying balls off for people or on the wing, laying them in or defending back, and he does everything. So he's like an extra man for us. So if he's not scoring goals, the whole idea this season is that we were going to try and bring other players through to score goals. So it's not all about Ivan. So, you know, people like Mbeumo needs to pick it up. Like, you know, people like, you know, is it, you know, other players need to be picking it up as well. And scoring the goal. So for me, listen, Ivan Toney, I think it's going to take him a bit of time to get used to this division and used to finding the spaces, playing against the defenders. But he's really determined enough. I really think he's going to get there. I really do, because he's a very, very good player. He's different to Ollie Watkins, obviously, he replaced, who is a brilliant player, Ollie Watkins, you know. But he's, you know, he picks up the ball and he runs at him and he... And Ivan Toney's just different. So let's see how he gets on Saturday, because this, I think Saturday is going to be one of our toughest games of the season, I'll be honest with you. And I'm saying this obviously after Arsenal, you know, as opposed to before Arsenal, because I thought Arsenal would be tough at the time we played them. But I think you guys, the way that you play your football, the way that you create your chances, you create lots of high quality chances. You haven't put them away, but you're going to put them away at some time. And I hope it's not Saturday, I'll be honest with you. So it's going to be a huge test for our defence, who is actually very good. We've got a really, really, really good, solid defence who have made two. They've taken their eye off the ball twice and they've let in two goals. Once was on Saturday. Trossard, is it, against Brighton. And that should have been a draw. You know, probably we should have beaten them, but we didn't. And also the other one was Buendia. For Aston Villa, who scored a great goal, brilliant goal that he scored. You know, we took our eye off the ball and we should have closed him down. We didn't. But other than that, we've played, our defence have been really good. So you're going to be a proper test with your you know, Traore and them lot. You know, they're good players, man. So it's almost like for us, we want to see how we're going to get on, because, you know, we know we're going to come across, you know, Man City and Liverpool's and Chelsea's. And, you know, that's going to be tough. So we need to see how resilient we are, really.
Just going back to Toney, I genuinely think our defenders are going to have their biggest test of the season so far in terms of strikers. I think, although, yeah, he has his own, I think he's scored one so far, I still think that he's bringing so much to Brentford's play. He's obviously the focal point. Is bringing other players into play, holding the ball up. And I think if you are to do well against us on Saturday, I think he will have to have a really good game. And it'll be interesting, won't it? Because we all know that Cody struggles at times when he's got that sort of physical player to play against. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how we actually deal with him. Because if we can sort of stifle Toney, you know, obviously we'll probably stick with our five at the back, I'd imagine. I think we could do well. I think that'll be the key battle.
Brentford play five at the back as well. Is that right, Billy? I've only really paid attention to sort of, I'm a massive, massive fan of Ethan Pinnock. And I think Rico Enrile will do well at this level as he... as he grows with age and physicality. What's your sort of how much do you actually rate Pontus Janssen? I'm not sure if he's a Premier League defender, but tell me I'm wrong.
Right, so this is interesting. I mean, we do play as we actually go three at the back, five at the back, because it's one of those ones where it's like you can call it a five, you can call it a three. You've got three centre backs and you've got two wing backs. So we reverted to the wing back scenario towards the back end of last season when we start to lose a few games when we're having our run in, and I think it was Coventry we lost to, which surprised everyone, and it kind of knocked us off kilter. And we decided that we had to, because we had a few injuries problems, we had to do something about it. So we reverted back to sort of three stroke five at the back, and it solved a lot of our issues. And then now what's happened is we come into the Premier League, we've actually built a team, in effect, not around that, but we've actually built, you know, we've got players in which have played to that system. And, you know, so the three at the back are Ethan Pinnock, who you said is a great player. I mean, I actually, if I'm not watching Brentford, I'll go and see Dulwich Hamlet, which is a team in the Conference South now. They get 3,500 fans in the Conference South. It's brilliant. But I saw them in a playoff final play against East Thurrock about 4 years ago, and playing for them was was Pinnock. Pinnock was playing for them in the Conference, in the Isthmian League, actually, which is one league below the Conference South, which is three leagues below Division Two. And that's four seasons ago that was. And they lost in the playoff final then. And then he got transferred to Forest Green after that. And then after Forest Green, he went from Forest Green to Barnsley, and now he's at Brentford. He's playing the Premier League. So it's taken him about four seasons to go from Isthmian League to Premier League. Great, great, great defender. He is honest. Every game that he's played so far has been great. Then we've got Aya, who we bought from Celtic, who's a ball-playing centre-back. He's wicked. He's going to spend most of his time in your box, to be honest with you. But he's a wicked, really cool and calm centre-back, and he's really steadied us up in the back. And then you've got Pontus. And Pontus, I think Pontus was he's a big figure. He's a right character. First season, when he played, when we didn't go up, our defence was properly solid. And then he got injured, and then we had a bit of a wobble. Then he came back the following season. And he was making mistakes here and there, and right, but we got up in the end. And I wasn't sure whether or not Pontus is going to be, you know, make it Premier League. This is not a disrespect to him, because I wasn't sure where he's going to be. I didn't know if he's going to go back to Sweden or what he was going to do. But then he's come back in, and in the free, he's been wicked. So the three of them working together, they've been really good. And with Rico on the left and Canos on the right, who ironically, Canos is actually a left winger. So we've got a left winger playing at right wing back for us at the moment now. So between them, they've been really, really wicked in defence. So we'll see again, because you guys are going to be coming at us tomorrow. Let's see how good they really are.
Since Wolves got promoted back to the Premier League, we've won six of our eight home league games against promoted sides, and a draw and then a defeat against someone we won't mention. Should it be a regimental win on Saturday, Kim, or can you see Brentford sneaking something?
I don't want to sound too confident, because I'm never confident, but just from what we've done so far and how, not just the result last week, but how we played, I can't see a thrashing, to be honest. I can see 2-0 potentially. I can see us controlling the game. Brentford's probably having a few chances, showing some nice touches, but I'd like to think that because we've now got lots of players coming back from injuries, we've got a stronger bench, you know, we've got players that can hopefully come on and make an impact. I genuinely think that we are going to do well. And I think it's interesting actually to hear that it sounds like we pretty much play the same formation. So it should be a good matchup against the two teams. But I think, again, our wing-backs will be key to our success going forward. And obviously Neves has been pulling the strings in virtually all the games that we've played so far. So, yeah, I'm backing Raul to get on the score sheet, and I can see a comfortable win, hopefully.
What's your sort of feeling going into the game on Saturday, Billy? Obviously, like you said, Wolves is going to be a tough fixture for Brentford, but surely you've got a good, strong identity as your squad. You've got players which are still sort of unknown quantities at Premier League level. Do you fancy yourselves to get a result on Saturday?
We've finished off. We've done a couple of podcasts this week. We do three podcasts a week. We normally do one straight after the match, which again, a lot of Wolves fans would know, because even when we played you last time in the Championship, we were doing that as well. We literally come straight out the ground and stick a microphone under people's noses. and then we record people and then we put it up in the air, and it's normally out about an hour or two after the final whistle. But we've got our other podcast, it's prideofwest.london, by the way, and it's live now. And we've got actually Rich, okay, from your Rich from your podcast is actually he's on there as well, giving the Wolves perspective, like, you know. So you should definitely check that out. It's a wicked podcast, and we talked about the game obviously a lot, and we're saying how difficult it is. But the fact is that the one thing that we do know is that we do play our. We haven't come in this division to kind of like just put two banks of four up and just defend and try and not lose games. We come here to try and play football. And that's the only way for us. And yeah, okay, certain games we might kind of be a little bit clever and then try and hit people on the break, but we do try and play football. So we're going to just go out there and see what we could do and just play football. I mean, the prediction that I had put on our podcast, I said 2-2, because I couldn't say 1-1 because somebody had already said 1-1. So I've had to go for a 2-2 draw in this game, which means there's going to be goals in it. In the last few games, interestingly, we haven't created... we've created chances, but we haven't created the chances like we did in the Championship, where we were, you know, if you love your XG, some people hate it, but, you know, we use it as a little bit of a barometer. And, you know, sometimes we might be 2.5, 3 XG, which means you're creating a lot of really good, high quality chances, which means that you can almost like slot it in the back of the net from the 6-yard box. This time, this season, we've been, you know, kind of on the ones, the 1.2, 1.5s. And even the last game was probably about 0.5, which means that you were having more sort of pot shots from outside the area. You might have had one shot inside the area, which might have had 1 in 3 chance of going in. So for me, my little nerves is the fact that, you know, are we creating enough opportunities? And if we are creating enough opportunities, good opportunities, are we putting them in the back of the net? You know, because if we're missing chances all the time, then we're not going to get the results that we want. The flip side of it is one thing that I will say is that also we've been keeping teams really tight. So none of the team actually that's created the most decent opportunities against us was actually Arsenal, which everyone's going, I didn't think they're really good. But all the other teams that we've played, again, from an XG level, we've been creating, you know, 0.2. I think, you know, 0.2 was Brighton the other day, which means that they had one chance, I think, which was a 1 in 10 chance of going the back of the net, and they scored from it as well. Cheers. But one of those things that happened.
Billy, that's the harsh of the Premier League, isn't it?
That is, you know. So for me, I'm saying, look, if we can keep it, this is why you're going to be a real tester for us, because I know you create lots of opportunities. Let's see how good our defence is to try and keep you down to maybe creating less than you can do, and let's see if we can nick it. But for me, I'll be happy, very happy with a draw up in your zone again, because we just need to chisel our way up to safety in this league. And is it 17th? Is it 38 points? People are telling me. I've got no idea. I know what the Championship one is. 50 points, isn't it? And 50 points is what you need to get the Championship. But I think
they used to say 40 in the Premier League, but I think it has dropped to about 30, 37, 38 now, isn't it? It's become a bit of a... I know it's going to become a bit of a boring segment for Wolves fans asking the opposition fans this, but who are you fearing most from our squad in the game Saturday?
Well, it's got to be Traore, only because he's doing the business, and everyone's saying, oh, yeah, but he ain't got his shooting boots on. But it's going to be typical. He's going to get his shooting boots on against bloody Brentford. You know what I'm saying? It's just so Brentford that's going to happen. I remember you had, who was it? Was it Saka? It might have been Saka, actually. Or it's either Saka or you had, who's the other player that you had? He had the bloody dual boots.
Saka.
And it was he was the type of player who kind of like he used to kind of he's strong, he used to get about, and then but then when he came against us, he would always just cause us problems. And I'm just a little bit nervous that Traore might finally kind of get his shooting boots on against us. So I've got to keep my fingers crossed that he has another slightly off day, and then he could score 6 goals the following week, as far as I'm concerned. Because
often have his shooting boots on, though, does he? I don't think he's ever had his shooting boots on for us, apart from once against Man City. He hasn't scored too many.
No, but he causes. I mean, I know this because everyone's having to go because he's not scoring the goals, but he does cause problems, though, doesn't he? Or does he? You tell me. To the opposition.
Oh, he causes problems, no doubt. No doubt he causes problems, but, you know, does he actually provide assists and goals? Well, so far he hasn't this season, but his XG is good, so We're all on the XG hype at the moment, but, no, but fans are, just about, because our XG has been pretty good.
It's not about the hype. It's all I'm saying to you is that if you're, listen, if you're on the pitch, you're going to, you know, if you're doing the business at some stage, unless you're really, really rubbish, right, you're going to do something. Yeah. And all I'm trying to say to it, it's going to be so Brentford that he'll do it against us. You know what I'm saying? Because he's there or thereabouts, but he's not doing the business. And it's like, oh God, you know, there we go. It just is. We're the type of team that it will happen to, because it just always happens against us. It really does. You know? So the last thing we hate is when people are saying, oh, he's never going to score. He's not scoring any goals. We're thinking, right, that's it. It's all over for us. But anyway, I hope I'm going to eat my words on that at 2:30 tomorrow.
From what you've seen so far of us this season, who's the sort of players that you think are our weak links as such?
I mean, it's the thing about it is that saying who's your weak links. I mean, you're talking about it's difficult. Like, you know, obviously you want to be your weak links in defenders. I mean, I know Connor Cody before he was at yours, and I'm just sort of thinking. I mean, I think you mentioned it'll be a tough game for him, whether or not he'll be able to, like, say, for example, Ivan Toney, he just goes at it. And whether or not you can take the relentless battering of somebody like Toney, I don't know. I've seen Wolves a bit, but I haven't seen you enough to kind of work out exactly where your links are. But I'm just sort of thinking, for us, where it is that we need to break down your defence. Your defence has actually been relatively strong, you know. And so I'm thinking that Connor Cody, if him and seeing what and Ivan Toney's going to do against him, let's see how that battle goes. Let's see.
Who should we be looking at apart from Ivan Toney? I heard you mention Sergio Canos earlier. That's the guy who I'm sort of looking at, who's going to create the majority of your chances. Is there anyone else we should be looking out for?
Yeah, well, Sergi obviously is going to be on the wing-back front, so you're going to see him in attacking positions quite a lot. But the player who really should be doing it this season for me is Brian Mbeumo. He had a great season with the BMW, if you remember them, Benrahma Watkins. Benrahma Watkins, Mbeumo as well as him. So you had the three of them, and they scored 55 goals between the three of them. And the Mbeumo had a great season. I think he scored might have scored about 14 goals that season and got loads of assists. Then he got COVID at the back end of the season, came back the following season, wasn't quite the same, still scored goals, but wasn't quite the same. And then this season, close season, he had a decent holiday, went away, was very happy, he's come back. And then in close season, he looked on fire. He scored, I'm not sure if he scored this season so far, I think he's got assists, but he's the one that hit the post against Arsenal very early on in the game, smashed it against the post. He missed three really good chances against Brighton as well. That one of them he definitely should have scored as well. But he's a really, really skillful player, and I'll be, you know, he's a good player, and I'll just watch out for Brian Mbeumo. He's a great player. He is, and it's another player that I really like who may or may not start, because he had COVID, so he didn't start against Brighton. He came on for the last 15 minutes, and he's Frank the Tank Onyeka. We just signed him in the closed season from FC Michelin, which is our sister club in Denmark that our owner also owns over there. And we got him. He was my Danish buddies out there told me that he was the best player in Denmark, because in Denmark, basically, if you're any good, you go to Europe or you go to another club. You don't stay in Denmark. But he was the best sort of player who remained in Denmark at the time. And so we signed him. And he's great, because he's like a Duracell bunny. 90 minutes, he just goes and goes, gets in, jumps in, you know, tackles, breaks up tackles, passes, does everything. So I like Frank the Tank. So you should definitely look out for Frank the Tank Onyeka.
Blimey, the fear's rising there, Kim. I mean, I thought he was going to reel off like George Thomas the Tank Engine. Friends, the way you were going there. What's your score prediction for Saturday, Billy, before we have a look at our tips from Ball Sport, our betting partners?
So for me, like I said to you, I'm going to go even Stevens, and I'm going to go for 2-2. It's going to be a 2-2 draw. I mean, you want me to give goal scorers and all that kind of stuff? I can't give that. I'll just say it's going to be 2-2.
Two all, Billy. Do you think it'll be a 1-1, 2-2?
I think it's going to be 1-1, 2-1, 2-1, 2-1, and I think that you will probably score first, and then we'll equalise, and then you score second, and we'll equalise again. So, yeah, because you're at home.
What's your feelings going into the game, score prediction wise, Kim?
I'm going to go 3-0. I know that sounds overconfident, and it's not, because I don't think it will be a 3-0 game. However, I do think that we'll finally get our shooting boots on with our high XG.
Traore, by any chance?
No, I'm still not going Traore. I'll go Raul and Trincao.
Okay.
So we've got one tip here, which is Wolves to win 1-0, 2-0 or 2-1. Raul Jimenez, anytime goal scorer. Sergi Canos, which I believe he'll be coming up directly against Adama Traore for the majority of the game. Is that right, Billy? You said that Sergi Canos will play right wing back?
Yes, he will do. Indeed, yes.
Yes, I mean, Adama's been predominantly playing left wing, hasn't he, Kim, so far? So you've got a good chance of Sergi Canos getting a book in there. So that's 22-1 for that. We've also got Wolves to win. Trincao, first goal scorer, as Kim said, and over 1.5 goals, 10-1. Adama Traore, first goal scorer for those who actually have faith in our winger, over 2.5 goals, and Wolves to win 16-1. And for the Brentford viewers tonight, Ivan Toney, first goal scorer, the game to finish a draw, and Romain Saïss to be booked 100-1. If that's not worth a pound of your money, I don't know what is. Anything else, guys, you want to discuss before we call it a night?
I'll just let you know what my tips are, because I did mean to mention it. This is the tip that's going to win. So Wolves to win 2-0, over 2.5 goals, and Trincao anytime. That's 16-1. So get on that one.
Just one last comment from Denzel Walls. Hey, Billy's still a bear. Remember, watch his videos back in our league one day. It's really good content. Fair play, Brentford.
Cheers, Denzel. Thanks for watching them. There's old school videos. We used to have a lot of fun making them videos. We actually started them before Arsenal Fan TV in 2013. We just whipped out a video back at Yeovil. You remember them days? Yeah, Yeovil. We whipped a video at Yeovil just the week after we played Chelsea in the Cup. So we played Chelsea in the Cup. We drew 2-2 with them. We were really excited. We thought, oh, look at us, Brentford Division 1. We just drawn with Chelsea, and we were winning with 7 minutes to go. And then Chelsea equalised, and we were a bit gutted. And then the following week, we went to Yeovil thinking, yeah, we just drawn with Chelsea. And I think they smashed us 3-0, I was saying, down at Yeovil. It was like a real leveller. And so I remember I just whipped out my camera, found about 5 or 6 Brentford fans. He said, what do you think of that then? And they went, oh, like that. We put it up on video. And from that, we literally went to every single game, home and away, for the next 5 seasons and just did videos. And we just basically just did kind of match day videos. We never filmed ourselves mainly. It was always the fans, going to the away fans, home fans, just asking them about their day, about the score, and on the terraces and stuff like that. And yeah, we did it. It was a lot of fun. Don't do so many now, because it's a lot of hard work doing videos and getting home and editing them and this and that and the other and doing all that stuff. So we only do them every now and again. We've started a few more this season on Besotted 1992 on YouTube. So we've done a few Premier League videos, which are not as full on as they were back in the day. Just gives a little flavour of the day. But yeah, like I said to you, Besotted, we've been doing fanzine for 30 odd years, since 1990. We've been selling fanzines, like, you know, in the corner of the street. So it's like me and Dave Lane, who started the Besotted, he's still there. Me and Laney, we've been doing it for years. We've got our blog. We've got our podcast now, which has done nearly 800 episodes as well. And we've got the videos. So, yeah, we keep ourselves busy. But, you know, I will never disrespect the Championship and the lower leagues, because that's where we come from. And I love that. But I'm very happy to be in the Premier League, tasting that and being up there and being on your show and just enjoying it. So, wicked. Thank you.
It gives you a warm feeling, doesn't it, Billy, that you were doing content before Brentford were in the Premier League, whereas I think you might have noticed that as your team gets bigger, the more content providers come out there. And I'm not sure how it's been like for you guys on social media, because obviously in recent years you've been on an upward trajectory. Do you get much negativity on social media from your fan base?
Yeah, there is a lot of negativity. You get that through fans, and you know, you get that the whole time. And to be quite honest with me personally, I've got this sort of filter, social media filter. Listen, I'm cool with it. I just get out there, put your information out, talk to people, but I don't really get pulled into the sort of negativity and all that kind of stuff. So I don't actually see a lot of it. I do my Besotted thing. I've got my own Twitter, Billy the B99, on my own Twitter, and I just kind of just do my thing. And then I because I've got a lot of other things going on in my life, and I can't be dragged down and dragged into the negativity of what's going on in football, because it's very easy to. And the thing that I say is that I think unless people really love it, it's very hard to win battles against people that you don't know, because it's like an endless sea. And it's kind of like, at the end of the day, you're not really going to win the battle. You know, you might put your point of view across, but it just keeps going and going and going. So for me, I prefer to come on here. You know, we chat with you and podcasts. We invite people on our podcast. They give their point of view. I write. I put my bits and pieces out there. And I'll sit down in the pub with somebody, have a pint with them, and I'll have a chat with them if they want to have a conversation. And for me, that's kind of like how I want to do my business, because it's a lot easier, and you can get your point of view across more in a conversation over a pint than you can do in 280 characters. You know what I'm saying?
So it's the best way to be, isn't it? It's like, it's not even worth the energy. Wolves is really bad, isn't it? For the Twitter spats. It's like people are only happy usually when they're moaning, got something to moan about. But at the moment, everyone's pretty happy. So, riding a crest of a wave at the moment.
Yeah, which is, you know, everyone's each of their own. Listen, people have got different styles and do their different things, which is fine. It's just that I'm just saying for me, I live in a creative world. I work in the creative business. So I need to, I just keep my head clear from the creativity, you know what I'm saying? So I try not to get called into the sort of, into the negative side of things, because it just doesn't do me any good for all the other stuff that I'm doing, you see. So, which is good.
To close the show, I'm going for Wolves 4-0 on Saturday. Don't know what's come over me, because you know we can't finish our chance at the moment. But like I've been saying all week, someone's going to take a pacing at some point. Hopefully, it's this weekend. Cue your enthusiasm music when Brentford win 2-0 on Saturday. Thanks to everyone who's tuned in tonight, listened, continues to support the Wolves Fancast, a part of the 90 Minute Network. Thanks again to Wolverhampton Eats and the Sport Shop Kings Winford. Hope everyone enjoys the weekend, and we'll catch you next week.
Okay.